Now, back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
And we are back, almost 4 minutes after 11 o'clock, our Mellow Joy Coffee time. A lot going on this weekend in New Iberia, and I know New Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt, happy to see all the activity. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. Great to be here. And yes, activity's good. Things are happening, things are moving, people are getting out. Great to see all this come back, you know. Gumbo cook-off, sugarcane festival in some form. People are still working out details of all of that. This weekend, literary festival. We got all kind of things going on. It's cool. It's good.
No doubt about it. No doubt. I saw you scouting out there, getting ready to put up a historical marker.
Yes, that is the historical marker that is coming from the state for Kathleen Blanco, our famous governor.
Absolutely.
Native lady, and it's going to go up. We have Emma Wakefield in one of the planners at the entry to the Bowling Plaza parking lot, and she'll be at the other planner. So it's going to be the lady power corner. So they're going to go
right there?
Right there.
Okay, yep, excellent.
Yep. So we'll have both of them right by each other. People do. Tourists come. I see them stopping and, you know, are walking and reading the Emma. It'll just be a good spot to put it. I think clustering those two together, two famous ladies. So I'm excited about that. And so we are filling out the paperwork. I got approval from people involved this morning for the location, and now Joe Livingston, my public works director, will be able to fill the paperwork out. DOTD sets the post, and then when we're close to the event, public works comes out and sets the plaque.
There you go.
So I
understand that the goal is Wednesday, May 12th, to have a dedication.
That's what they're working on.
Very good. And the governor may be in town for that.
We are hoping.
Very good. Anything else you want to mention before we jump into the meeting? Maybe an update on some of the things going on, especially behind George Roderick Park there.
Yeah, the marina, which that is called City Slips. That's the first marina grant that came through. And the contractor is a local contractor, Coastal Timbers. Craig Girard's handling that project, and he's flying. I mean, it's going very well. We've had a few issues, and he's... it's not his first rodeo. He worked them all out along with our engineers and architects, and so we're coming along. At about another month, I really think, month and a half, he'll wrap that part of it up. So that's going very well. You'll see dirt work going on for the rest of the and the final phase of Roderick Park, and then the contractors have started at the next phase because there'll be one more phase for the museum after this one, but they're working in the Doc Voorhees wing on the next phase. So all of those, and we got a lot of news this week and last week. The kayak dock finally got the notice to proceed. So now we're working on plans. Public Works will end up doing some dirt work, some concrete work on that site as well as a match. But, that's starting to move. We took bids on re-roofing the, I'm going to quit calling it the 911 building because they're no longer there.
Sure.
But the CID building up in the front and the city training center, meeting center, that's going to come where 911 was. To be used by all departments. We awarded the bid for the roof, picked the roof colors earlier this week, so that's in the process. Met with Mr. Jim Lee from the state, who comes when you kick off a project with facility planning, and so the project is now kicked off to re-roof the two gyms. So the architectural plans are proceeding with that so that we can get that out to bid. The wayfinding signage, which is a small grant we talked about months and months ago, that's been approved with a notice to proceed. And there's a little walking trail along with that downtown. That has been approved. So finally, we're getting out the mud. We're finally moving again that some of these projects that due to COVID and people not working as much and just various studies and all kind of things that had to happen, projects are moving. I'm getting very excited. We have the next round of money coming from President Biden's package. We still don't know what we can do with it or any of the rules. We've had a couple of Zoom calls. We're talking to people from Washington. We're trying everything we can, but, they're going to tell us when they tell us. But I am making plans. They are, many infrastructure things that I would love to see happen there. Got some great news that we're moving up the bond for the roads. We're now going to float that bond in August. So we're probably a year and a half earlier of where I originally thought we would be able to once our finances started coming back. I mean, when I got here, we were like, I don't know when we're going to be able to do it. But things have gotten better for us and have stayed steady. So I talked to the bonding, Jason Akers, our bonding agent, and basically there were two small bonds that we can refinance, the last two that he has been waiting to do. We're going to refi those and issue the road bond at the same time. So that's going to move us up, we're thinking, till like August, September, which would be great. We've already hired the engineers, had a meeting last week with our sewer engineers, because some of the President Biden money could be used for sewer. That's about the only answer I got. So we are making plans with that, and then met with the road engineers this week and said, okay, the road bond's going to be quicker than we thought, and they are getting back a schedule to me of how they'll do the road assessments and get all of that per district, so that that would come, I would say, summer, let's say probably July, something like that. They would be able to report back, and then the council will have time to digest it and make sure that's the roads, you know, that they feel they need to do in their district, so that once we got the money in August, September, we would be able to, you know, be ready to get moving on that, because I drive those same roads, you know.
Yeah.
I watch that someone will complain about a pot. Now, it gets all weird. Next thing you know, it's the parish. It's government in general. We're all no good. You know, it's all kind of – it goes in all kind of crazy directions. But if you put something today on Facebook about a pothole, it turns into a giant. And I just want to remind people, the city had no road program for 14 years. When I was the pro tem the first term, Mary Hilda Curry started a road program, and we fixed some streets. Then that stopped when the economy went down. Then it went along that it's just like your house. It's just like buying a house. You got to have your finances straight for anybody to loan you money. It has taken many twists and turns. I've been here for 4 years and whatever, you know, 4 months. It has taken that to get us, you know, and we got some breaks. Some good things happened to where our finances are good, that we can borrow money again. It's not that we didn't want to. I mean, some people, you know, put on there with a passion that, you know, we just don't want to fix the roads. And that is not the case. We all drive them. We're constantly trying to get new businesses here. We're constantly trying to, you know, improve our quality of life. Well, of course we know our streets suck. I mean, we drive them. So I'm excited that that's finally going to come, and then people will see, you know, a road program.
Have you seen that comically large orange cone in New Orleans?
Yes, and I wish I had one.
I would say we need a few of those in the Toledo Village parking lot.
Boy, you're not kidding. Now, that's private property.
I know.
But,
and that's
lose your whole car, you know? Whoa. And look, you know, concrete costs. Concrete's more expensive than ever right now. Labor's expensive right now. Lumberyard materials are through the moon. But, you know, we're going to do it when we can do it. But it is coming, and I'm excited about that because long overdue.
There you go. And, you know, again, I make the metaphor a lot. It's easy to be Santa when you got a big bag of toys, but you don't right now.
No,
you know,
no.
It's a modest one
And we're building it up, though, you know. We had an empty bag. I mean, you know, so it's taken some time. And like I said, the citizens have done nothing but help for the most part, you know. We passed the tax. Once the police came in, that did exactly what I said. It freed up that 1960 money, and we could start reworking that. People have shopped local. Our taxes are up 5% from where they were last year. We got a report on that Tuesday night. So, you know, shopping local works. The new stores that have come here that we have supported and need to continue to support. I brought a developer last week, put him in the Jeep, did my normal routine, found him a building. It wasn't where he thought he wanted, but it was very close. He likes the building. He's gone back to a business that could be coming, and I think they like the building. So, you know, now hopefully then we track down the owners for him. And, you know, I mean, I'll do whatever. Got the people hooked up together. Now it's a deal. I mean, it's not my deal anymore. It's a you know, a real estate transaction. I'm hoping it happens. I'm hoping they find some common ground, and, you know, that'd be another little place coming. So you just – try to win one at a time. That's kind of where we are. But I'm excited that people are still looking, and developers are, you know, we're talking to, some of them I'm calling. They're not calling me, but we're calling them, and some of them are receptive to come and look. Some of them are receptive to come back. So, you know, just I think we're on a good path.
Very good. Did you mention the status on the Vets Memorial?
Yes. Actually, and I haven't looked today. They're reworking. Some more names have come in of bricks, and I'm not completely happy with the bricks. They are crooked. They need some work. You know, our name's on this. This is so within the budget, we have someone coming to straighten the bricks out while they add the new names. That's supposed to happen. He told me they would probably start tomorrow, if not Monday. So the plaques are all in. Just uncrated them. I want the bricks, you know, straightened out at the bottom, and then we're going to put the plaques. So we're shooting for May 31st so that we, you know, we make it for Memorial Day. That's important. But I am hoping that you will see some brick activity. I think we have about 40 or 50 bricks on a pallet with names and another 20 in Hillary's office that I don't want to put them out there until they come. But yeah. Like I said, since they're pulling up 70 bricks, they're going to go ahead and straighten out and get our lines a little straighter and get them a little more level. Not that the rest, I hate to admit it, and we're looking at finding some money to do that. Not that the rest of the plaza area doesn't have trip hazards and doesn't have broken bricks and needs attention. I know that. I'm working on that. But this new area, I just think that they could be a little better, a little straighter. So, you know, the guys did a great job of the concrete, great job of the walls, the plaster, filling all that, all the walls with concrete. But like I said, our bricks need to get tweaked. So the tweaking's coming.
There we go. Looking forward to it. And
I am too.
Again, long awaited.
I agree. And long overdue.
No doubt about it. Tuesday night, City Council met about an hour and 10 minutes or so. Got to hear from Renee Stansberry. In fact, I'm working with her on a couple of healthy living initiatives, smoke-free initiatives, and looking forward to unveiling those later in the summer. But she addressed a certain program going on in Iberia.
She did. She did. And she did a good job of it. And it's the Little Free Pantry, and we're supporting her in that. And then just to tell you, she's a workhorse. We just are doing – I met with three councilmen and her – and we were looking at some AARP grant she knew about that she basically brought to us. The city would do the grant, but she brought that to us. She's actually helping Jane write that grant today because it's due probably, you know, like tomorrow. But she's helping with that, and I'm excited. I mean, I think there's a lot of possibilities with all this money floating around, you know, whether it's a false economy and whether you want to say that, you know, our grandkids will be paying for it or whatever. Let's take advantage of anything we can.
Yeah.
Any money that can
if
come
you don't
our
get
way,
it, somebody else is.
Someone else will. So I'm very excited that the grant field seems to be opening up. And there are a ton of little grants like this. But that AARP one that she just dropped in our lap, we're working on that one. But this is an interesting one. And I see that other communities are doing that. So, should go right along with the little library boxes that we had done maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, oh, neat. All right. Also had a, I guess, I won't say a presentation, but a little meet and greet with a representative from Senator Kennedy's office, Sarah
yes.
Dake.
Yeah, she took Jay's place, and Jay is in Washington with the senator, and they'll be my contacts or will be very helpful. We've been talking about the President Biden package, and as soon as they're going to know the rules before I do, and they both promised me, and her and I talked and kind of exchanged contact information, as soon as we can get some clear, I have a legal page waiting. In other words, in aside from the 100-and-something master study projects, I have a whole new list that, you know, to do with this infrastructure money, but it's just not positive what I can do yet. You know, got my engineers on hold and said, get ready. Because what I'm worried about is every community is going to get money. So every contractor, every engineer, everybody's going to be busy. You got 4 years to spend it. I don't want to waste any time. I want to be out the blocks quick. So I was very, it was good timing for her to come so that we could connect. She's brand new rep with us. And so basically, you know, she's going to be a key contact to help me find the rules as quick as I can.
Very good. Council had a public hearing. Usually when you have a public hearing, you vote on the ordinance that same meeting,
yeah.
But opted to do, give it a little extra time on this one, the yard sale situation.
Yeah, yeah, if you remember, we brought the yard sale, and there was more than one, but there was a couple of continuous, there were basically three continuous yard sales in town that we were getting a lot of complaints on. So ordinance committee worked up something. If you remember, it went to a council meeting. We talked about it for about an hour, I think, at least, and went back and forth, back and forth. And you could see there wasn't a lot of agreement. Following our normal processes, it went out in the newspaper to hold a public hearing. Okay, well, we even said that night that you could see people weren't in agreement. We don't have to even pick it up again. You know, it doesn't, everything you talk about at a council meeting doesn't, you can stop the process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we had done an advertisement that we would have a public hearing. So you got to do what you say. because we had a big debate about that. I was like, you know, just leave, can we just leave? I'll be honest with you, can we just leave it off? You know, we're not ready yet. We it's either going to need to be reworked. You know, it's going to be voted down in its present form. We had an hour-long talk, and I like to win. I mean, I like to do something that's productive. So I'm like, you know, maybe we should wait. But Jeff Simon said, you know, no, you really, you know, you said you were going to do it, so do it. So I said, well, I don't know if we can. He says, yes, you can. So we just did a public hearing. We didn't put it to do any other action. First time. I've ever seen that. So we took the public. Two people commented. One commented twice, and that's okay. And so we were done with that. And now it's going to go back to the ordinance committee, and it may come back. It may not come back. I don't know. But because we put in print we were doing it, we all did feel in the end that we had to do it.
And the more input you can get from the public, certainly the better. You know?
But that's why right before I did a little caveat of we're not acting on this, because even some of my council people were like, you know, are we voting? And I was like, no, we have nothing to vote on tonight. So that was weird, maybe a little hiccup, but, you know, do what you say you're going to do.
What would you like to see?
I'd like to see something that just addresses the issue and the big debate. And with all of this stuff, it's a big debate. And it's so funny that one small item, you know, people will start knocking you that you're being petty or whatever. But we're going to deal with something. I see that you need to deal with the whole problem. Okay. But what I'm learning to do is be more concise about what the problem is. So what I'd like to do is do something very simple. That would be if you have a complaint that it is a continuous garage sale. These people are, you know, constantly selling something next to your house, and it's constantly causing traffic, and every day you're looking outside at, you know, a bunch of bicycles and old yard play equipment and kids' toys and furniture. I could understand that affects your quality of life. What I'd like to do is something very simple that says when you call and complain that it's a continuous yard sale and we document it, from that time we pay them a visit and say you have so many days to cut it out, or I'm going to pop you $500 a day. Real simple. And you attack that person that is causing that problem. We have other laws on the books, but they're not easy. I love it when all these kind of pretend lawyers read our code and say, well, you got, you know, they're operating a business. Well, it's not really a business. It doesn't really fall under that category. They should have to have an occupational license. No, because you don't have anything in writing that says a garage sale falls under an occupational license. So what we tried to do was come up with a whole system, and you could track it. And if you ask an attorney, any attorney, to do something, they're going to give you the whole thing. So if you want to track from A to Z, that's why you get a permit. That's why it's a no-cost permit. If you're going to regulate, that's why you start saying how many items you're going to sell. It just becomes very cumbersome and becomes, you know, a three-page document. I'm learning to just ask for, help me fix my one problem.
Yeah.
And I'm having to do that. But because we've had a couple of them that were stretched out into, you know, a whole process. And I don't like red tape. If you know me, you know, I'm constantly looking how I can get out of red tape. I hate bureaucracy. So that's one that I'm hoping can melt down to something simple that just fixes those couple of problems. You know, just like I got somebody complaining, busting me that a store is not putting everything in the dumpster, or they ride by and the dumpster has some garbage bags next to the dumpster. I shouldn't send them a $75 junk letter. They have a dumpster. They're running a business. You know, we've stopped and asked them to kind of clean it up. If you have some that become a health hazard or a fire hazard, well, then I can go after them. If you have one that's just kind of borderline, like I take pictures, or people send me pictures, or I have compliance take pictures of all of this stuff, and then I make a decision. You want to blame me? Blame me. I make a decision and say, well, it's not junky enough, you know, or my God, if we're going after this one, we'd have to go after 10 of them, trying to be fair and, you know, concise with everybody. So sometimes it's not something I can deal with. Then everybody in the world just wants me to send the police department, you know, and some of that, well, if the police don't have a paper trail and compliance hasn't set a path first that proves someone's not going to do something, then you got to go get the city attorney involved and find out if it's something that they're going to prosecute. Because if they're not going to if it's something that she would say, well, this is really not something to prosecute, I've just wasted a whole bunch of people's time. So sometimes people don't realize that, you know, we're not the Gestapo. You can't just make people do. Look, if you could just say I can make the rules and I'll go get it done, oh, great. But that's not America. That's not the way it works. So
One of these problems is permanent or long term. I mean, like in the case of bags by a dumpster, dumpster gets emptied, the bags.
Sometimes it's a one time. You know? Now, if it's chronic, then what we need to do is build up a case and document it. But it's not, even the simplest, most petty little detail is not most of the time the way people think. They just call and want a solution right away, and, you know, it's in my neighborhood, make it go away. I want to help any way I can, but it's interesting to say the least.
There you go. So, again, we'll look forward to – do you anticipate something on the next agenda?
No.
No.
Okay. I think something will come, but I don't know when.
Gotcha. After that, dealt with several resolutions. Paul Allen, architect for the Downtown Visitors Pavilion conversion. Talk about that.
Excited about that. That is the existing restroom that we don't use hardly at all because we've had so many issues there and so many problems. We're going to open up the walls, save the roof, save the exterior structure, open the walls up, and make an open-air pavilion. And what that's going to be is a visitor's center. It's going to have kiosk in it that will be, you know, out of Lexan, weatherproof, nothing that humidity could affect. And it's our time to tell our story. What it is, when a visitor comes, yes, you hit the shadows, Conrico, you know, all of our historic stuff downtown. You can. But what I want to do is, if you come in here and you want some soul food, I want you to know where Anointed Soul Food is. If you come in and you want, you know, whatever, you want the best poor boy in the world, I want to send you to Bon Creole or wherever, you know, Duffy's, you know, anybody. I would like at least one or two panels in there. I want to tell our history. It's great. You know, we have a very diverse and really cool history. But I want at least one panel that just kind of sends you to local businesses. Sends you to, hey, you want Boudin crackling? Go to Legnaw's. Go to, you know. I think it would be fun, plus it helps our tax base, plus it keeps people in our town longer. The big visitor center for the parish does a wonderful job, but they focus on the big picture. I'm trying to focus. My jersey is, you know, City of New Iberia. So having this small, and it will have a bathroom in it, okay? I've bent because so many people have said we need one bath, so there'll be one little bathroom. I don't know how we're going to control it.
Have you ever? You've been to San Francisco, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Have you
No, I haven't been to San Francisco. I want to go. No, I haven't.
You need to investigate these public bathrooms they use.
Okay.
And
one of the
motivations is it discourages bums from sleeping in them, but they're enclosed. Someone uses it. They walk out. 20 seconds. They clean the whole thing. Automatically clean it. But again, if there's no...
So it's like a shower head, it sprays the whole thing down?
And sterilizes, I assume, close to sterilization as much as I guess you can get. And this is all pre-pandemic. It has nothing to do with COVID. But it automatically, you know, it's about the size, maybe 10 by 15, something to that effect. But it'll go through every time someone leaves, boom. But if there's no activity at some point, it'll do that.
Yeah.
As soon as it recognizes the...
Yeah, so if somebody was hanging out, once that motion leaves, after so many seconds, it sprays it down somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Well, I'll have to check that out.
Anyway, just
but it will have one small public bathroom that we're going to try to figure out how to control it and not to have any issues. But for the most part, like I said, tell our story, tell our history, promote our downtown, promote our community, and promote our businesses. So I think it's a fun little thing to do with something that is very underutilized now, and it's not going to be super expensive because I'm using all the structure.
Very good. We'll look forward to that. Timeline on that?
Well, the council approved the architectural drawings Tuesday night. I signed the contract, so I saw some schematic designs yesterday. So we're moving, and so that'll be one that'll go out for bid because it's kind of an in-house project. This is some of the CARES Act money that was dedicated to this portion. At the same time that we dedicated money to each district, we dedicated this project. So it won't be that long. I mean, it'll be a pretty fast-moving one to get it out to bid.
Very good. Jefferson Terrace Drainage Project, got an update there.
So important on that one. In the first phase, we spent $1.3 million, I think, and we got from Bayou Teche to under the railroad tracks, which is a huge adventure, and we got to Jefferson Terrace. Now this next phase will take us until we run out of grade. In other words, you know, drainage is gravity flow, so when the pipe starts by grade climbing out of the ground, we're done. That's a simple way to put it. But it will really help that area, so that's a project we've been the engineering just about done. And the money's there because we use that from the mosquito tax money that we get back after they do this mosquito abatement from the parish. So I'm excited about that. So that was the go button on that one. That is a project that has been long. And, you know, breaking it, if you remember, I inherited this project. It was from the previous administration, and it was a $3 million project. Excuse me one second. Already had COVID. It was a $3 million project. By doing it this way, We're thinking we're going to spend $500,000 or $600,000 this go round. It was 1.3 before. We actually ended up saving money by breaking it and just kind of slowing down and assessing the situation. So I'm excited about that project.
Real good. Had a couple of resolutions regarding LCDBG. Anything?
All of those were Vince Palumbo, Sewer Department.
Yeah.
That was all processes that we have to go through to get that money. And those block grant dollars we have for many, many years and probably many years to come only utilized it for sewer. We have a consultant, and that consultant works block grants around the state, and we use that money for sewer. We've got over, I want to say, $11 million in block grant money, and so that's what we will continue to apply for. And all of those adopting a policy or setting, you know, this and that, all of those were all related to us being able to apply and continue to apply for block grants.
Very good. Vitesse Museum, the Doc Voorhees wing, getting a little attention to now.
It is. It is. That project is underway along with the park, and things are happening. We have a contractor. He's working. They're moving dirt. The city's been doing some in-kind as well, moving off rubble, moving off dirt. So, yeah, it's going along.
Something about a bathroom or lack of that limits the occupancy.
Yeah, see, with the project, the bathrooms, the new bathrooms, will come in the next phase. We have one more phase. The park finishes out this year with this phase. We have another $1.1 million coming next year to finish the Doc Voorhees wing. Until then, we can occupy the front area that they're working on now, but we won't have the proper bathrooms. So the fire marshal gave us, we did a submission, and he said you can put X amount of people in that, and I have to do an affidavit and sign that we will hold to that until the next phase when all the bathrooms come. So it was kind of some red tape from the fire marshal, but I'd rather have that than nothing.
There you go. Surprised, I don't know, it seemed to come about quickly, although there was some discussion about Memorial Parkways, but seemed to happen quick, come together quick to name Hopkins the MLK Memorial Parkway.
Well, behind the scenes, that's been going on for a good while.
Gotcha.
And even last term, we talked about getting off of, you know, the hassles of changing a street name. You got to go through 911. How are you going to get 100 businesses or, you know, 100 buildings, some businesses, some residents, all change their address? It's just terrible. So we kicked around where we saw that Lafayette had done that. So even last term, we were kicking around doing a memorial highway, put a couple signs up, and be done with what you need to honor and who you need to honor, but not have to inconvenience businesses and residents and go through 911. And we actually have a Martin Luther King in the parish in Generette. I don't think they'd let us do it.
Hmm.
Because, you know, when they get the call in, am I going to New Iberia? Am I going to Generette? So having seen how that worked when we renamed Schott Street, we didn't want to go through that. So we had been kicking
And Schott Street compared to Hopkins, two different animals.
Yeah, well, they had
five
houses on Schott Street. So two different animals. So then Marcus Bryant popped up. And our state rep and said, man, I'd like to do that. Why don't we have that? We're going to do it. Boom. So then we talked with Marcus and said, let's make it a memorial highway. Let's not change the street name or anything. So everybody was in agreement to do it. And then they presented it in February. And we had a little at one of the meetings. And then came back up and we said, okay, let's not let it. We talked about doing it. Everybody was in agreement to do it. Let's do it. And then now Public Works, they're going to give me the wording on the signs, and then Public Works will make the signs and put them up. So in one way, it was a very long time coming because we're one of the few communities that hasn't honored Dr. King. So it's a good way to do it that I think it was needed and long overdue, and at the same time, it didn't inconvenience anybody.
Right, absolutely. And let's see, Ricky Smith Audio going to do some work at the City Council Chambers.
Thank God, man. Y'all all going to like that because that – oh, the old system is old, doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles. We took some bids. They're going to come in and give us a really up-to-date system. The TV's so big, man, I got worried.
Is it similar to IDF?
In a way. The TV's 75-inch, so it's pretty big.
Yeah.
I was in IDF this morning for our meeting. It's almost that size.
Mike has promised me that I get to watch hockey on that someday.
Man, it would be cool, huh?
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. His might still be a little bit bigger, but mine, we ordered it, and they were going to do, I don't know, 60-something inch. I was like, what's the next size? What's the next size? So then I got it to 75-inch. Well, goofy me, I didn't go measure between the curtains, because
mm-hmm.
okay, there's two windows, okay? When that thing came in, I was like, oh, my God. I heard I've got the tape measure. I clear it by 6 inches, so I have 3 inches on each side. So thank God I didn't go, because if I went for the mic version, I think mm-hmm. that's another 8 to 10 inches. But, yeah, it's going to be nice. So we'll have a nice big TV, a smart TV, so that we can do sure. some technology, a laptop set up just for that room, a hotspot for Wi-Fi so that our Wi-Fi will work better, and a new sound system. Now, the old system, we're going to donate to Generac.
I
talked to the
that
mayor this morning. And we have one that's shot, and they have one less person, so it was like it was just meant to be. So I talked to Ricky Smith about not cutting wires and, you know, just unplug everything where they could utilize it. So anyway, yeah, I'm very excited about that. It's the quality for everybody should be a lot better.
There you go. Big topic around
Can't you see those junk houses they're just, like, huge in your face and going to be like your next door?
There you go.
We'll really be able to see why we're taking action. Anyway,
speaking of junk houses, a couple of property standard issues. The big topic around the midget table yesterday was the mystery trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, that has been interesting, and it's getting a little more interesting. We have a few new wrinkles in that one that Jeff and I are going back and forth on that he's discovered. So we're doing our due diligence, but my hope is, and look, the Reedham family that owns the lot from the beginning, I mean, they stood up and said, you know, we'll pay. We want to do our part, which is so refreshing that, you know, people pop up and say we need to, you know, clean this up, but they don't own the trailer. And so they're trying to talk to the person who owns the trailer.
They now know who owns the
yes,
trailer?
Now
because
they know.
That was what we were trying to question. Either tracing it through a utility bill or something.
It got traced out. So we know who owns the trailer. I don't know when it showed up there. The trailer went back and forth from tax sales. Like they would redeem it. They mm-hmm. would get back behind again. They would we found the records. Found who owns it. Jeff is on it like a hound dog, you know. So
that's kind of his area of expertise.
Oh, he can do that with his eyes closed. So he took what Jimmy gave and then, you know, went further. And that's how it always happens. In other words, we get to the meeting, we make our decisions, then it gets turned over to Jeff. Jeff's involved in the beginning as well, but then, you know, he makes sure everything is kosher. We have a couple of those small hiccup issues, so they're dealing with it. What my hope is, and we kept telling the Reedham family, you could tear it down cheaper yourself. Well, they're worried about the liability of the guy's going to pop up and say, you tore my trailer down and sue them. The city has more protections than, you know, a family. So if we tear it down, that it costs more money, but it's for the most part pretty bulletproof. If they go out of their way and do it to save a few dollars, on the flip side, if that family would just say, and it's falling apart, I don't think it would make a move. I wouldn't look at it. I mean, you hook a truck to it, I don't think a trailer mover would move it because they're going to say it's going to fall on the road. So if that family who owns the trailer would say, you know, demo it, then the Reedhams could demo it themselves, pay somebody directly, and get out of a bunch of administrative fees, a bunch of red tape, do it quicker than we would, and do it much cheaper. So that's my hope. I got my fingers crossed that family that has that trailer is going to realize it has no value, and, you know, it just needs to go. But it is an adventure, and I heard all of it. You know, we were kind of kidding about all of that, too. How did it pop up? How did it, you know, when did it get there? Is it invisible? You know, just all kind of crazy stuff. But, but it's a mess, and that neighborhood who is really trying to uplift itself, and I just see so many volunteers working in Little Brooklyn and houses being painted and cool things happening.
Yeah.
It's going to be good to get rid of that.
Excellent. Another issue on Adams Street.
Sure.
That one
was
to
demoed.
To be
demoed. Yes, that was good. And we have about $100,000 set aside for demos. And we are moving and want to keep moving. You see, like, if there's a lull for the next meeting, then I'm going to hit that little thing I've been doing of, Jimmy, give me some on deck. Let's show some more properties that possibly someone would see their property and decide to fix it before we get to it. So I'm about to say, you know, who's next? If you don't have any coming at the next meeting, let's show some pictures. So also, I want my big TV because, you know, maybe they'll recognize me better and realize they have something to deal with.
There you go. A few announcements that you made, but I know you probably want to spend a little time, especially I think early voting begins Saturday for the special election on Saturday.
It does. And, you know, I'm just asking people, it's not a new tax. Please vote to support our recreation department. That money is what we run our Parks and Rec with. Parks and Rec, just to mention, is really opening back up. We made some rules so we could even have some free play, which is just, you know, pick up games, people coming in. With COVID, we really couldn't do that. Now that the governor has loosened the restrictions, we can do some of that. League play is coming back. You know, we're really trying to get back in the groove. But it takes money. It takes, you know, to run a park and to keep our parks up. And you figure everything from groundskeeping to the buildings. So I'm just asking people to please go and vote. And it is not a new tax. It is only a renewal.
There you go. Again, I'm pretty sure early voting begins Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think it's the only thing on the ballot,
it is,
too.
So it is.
But not a confusing ballot. No. Easy to get through. We have a caller on the line, maybe a question for the mayor. Hi, you're in the air.
Hey, good morning. Mayor, I know this is not a city problem per se, but I was just kind of wondering if maybe y'all had been in touch with the railroad company and maybe if any progress could be made on trying to get the crossing fixed, especially, I don't go to over all of them, but Jefferson Terrace, it's just horrible. You know, when you cross on the tracks right there, I'm in a pretty big pickup truck, and every time I go over it, I feel like one of my axles is going to break on the truck. So
yeah.
I just wanted to throw out one more thing. I'm not sure if there's room for it in the park or not, but boy, a little disc golf course would be really cheap to put up, and I think would provide some nice recreational opportunities.
You know, we propose that. That is proposed in the master study, like a frisbee course.
Yeah.
We have that proposed, and I'd like to see that somewhere too. So we did include that in the master study of possible projects because I thought it was neat. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of infrastructure to do. It takes some room, but it doesn't take a lot of infrastructure. So that's something I'm interested in too. And to tell you about the railroad track crossings, the railroad is coming. Now, we've been hearing about this project forever. They're telling me they're going to close two crossings, whether we want to close them or not, but that they're going to rework the few we have left that don't have arms and lights will, and that the rest of them are going to be reworked. And in conjunction with that, everything else is really a railroad project. They are lifting the track around Week Street, Julia Street. They call it the trough. All of that area, the track is going to be lifted. Now, that's more a safety thing, and that's more a railroad issue. They kind of tout it like it's something great. Well, it's great for them. It doesn't do much for us. But in this project, we are going to get our crossings reworked. Positive. Sure.
Appreciate the call. 367-1240. Been a while since I've worked in Parks and Recreation, but we had one in one of our parks growing up, and it was very well utilized.
Cool.
And I can imagine it's
like it would catch on.
Getting more popular 30 plus years later. Anyway, another caller. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're in the air.
How you doing this morning?
Good.
On your issue of the yard sales and all, you ought to have David Funeral Home come in and pronounce the yard sale ordinance dead on arrival, because the public is definitely not for anything like that. I woke up the other morning and the channel 3 was on my street going down looking for that notorious perpetual garage sale, the one on the corner of Marie and Apollo. And so I walked down and they interviewed me, and while they were interviewing me, this other individual that appeared on your meeting that night, Mr. Richard, or what is his name?
We don't have to mention his name.
They interviewed both of us. They did me first, and I stood there, and I listened to it, and then when they got to him, thank God they didn't put all of it. He was against the thing. One of the reasons was he didn't want all these people coming from across the bayou, walking through the neighborhood, you know, going toward the city park off and on during the year, digging in, you know, the stuff for sale and all. To me, it sounded like Jim Crow Part 2, okay? But anyhow, y'all need to really look very carefully at that. It was a personal thing. He just didn't like that. I mean, I know the guy that lives at the house with the thing. He's cut it down. It's finished. And the other big one that was on St. Peter Street, that little lady died, Miss Turnheim was the last name, Terry Sparks. She had another one that was ongoing and all. I don't have a problem with people having garage sales and all.
Yeah, on occasion.
Maybe something could be done, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And really, all it was supposed to target was the ones that are continuous. And it's not many. There were three in town that we continually had complaints about. But other than that, look, I like them. I go to estate sales all the time. So, you know.
Right. Anyway. And the other issue, people criticizing y'all right now, if you've been reading all the stuff, seeing that people are leaving town, leaving skid marks, getting out here, not because of yard sales, but because of drug sales and stuff like that. That's something for y'all really to consider. You've got a great police department. Put them to work getting rid of some of the major problems we've got, which will really help the city down the line. And another thing.
Well, if you don't think we're not working on that every
day.
Well,
I know. I've helped
look at the arrest records.
Oh, I know. I have an adopted son right now. Y'all got him on the most wanted for failure to appear or something. But the other thing is tearing down the old dilapidated houses. I think there's money's available somewhere. You could get lumber people, lumber yards, volunteers to help try to keep and restore some of these old houses instead of just ripping them down. That would be something positive, you know, that y'all could do, you know.
And Freddie has said it going back to his days as mayor pro tem. We want to represent houses, people,
yeah.
Not empty lots.
Right.
So I know that's your goal is to
it
get
is.
People to
and
rehab.
And we're only
those.
Jim Owen. You know, we look at every house, and we are not. There's almost 800 adjudicated properties. We only demo in the worst.
Yeah.
Because I do really want to see that, and I am looking, and I'm actually hoping that I can use some of President Biden's money that's coming down the pike to do exactly that. We've been looking at programs and meeting with a bunch of agencies. I just hadn't found the right one yet to find a way to renovate, because many of them can be saved. But if you look at the ones we're demoing, they're really in bad shape.
No doubt. Another caller, or maybe the same one we had gotten disconnected there.
Oh, I didn't know.
Y'all cut me off.
I'm sorry. I thought we were done.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, anyhow, just keep it up and look for something positive in that area maybe. It'll help out.
Yep. All right. Appreciate the call. Not to cut them off necessarily, but running out of time too. But I will say, especially during the early stages of the pandemic, and City Park, that property between my place and City Park, mm-hmm. where I spent a lot of time,
yeah.
it was disgusting, in my opinion. But the funny thing was, they were doing so many other good things to that lot and that house, but yet having this trash heap in the back.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me.
No, it didn't to me either, and it was just continuous. I mean, it never ended, and there was a lot of traffic, and I wouldn't want to live next to that.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's all we're trying to do. You know?
In the way his house is, he stares right at it.
Mm-hmm.
I get his concern. I do.
I do, too.
Anyway.
And so, anyway, but we'll deal with it one step at a time.
There you go. Anything else you want to mention before we let you go?
No, enjoyed it, and be back in 2 weeks, and it's all good.
Very good. Thanks again.